I've never given a paper where I had to make as many introductory remarks and qualifications as I have for this one. First, let me say no relationships to disclose. These represent my views, not the views of the CDC. Some of you, or perhaps most of you, have not heard of exposomics, and so I'm going to spend some time talking, a very brief time talking about what it is, but I'm not sure if this paper properly belongs in this section or whether it should have been in the environmental ethics section, but it's going to be very aspirational, in some ways theoretical, and I should point out that in some ways it's a bookend to a paper I gave last year and a panel co-sponsored by the Law Group on a critique of the individual perspective in general in American life, and then in some ways the sort of political climate of libertarianism and the emphasis on the individual perspective as opposed to the collective perspective was a great bar in many respects to doing public health. And we see from some of the previous talks that this whole idea of social justice, although in some ways it's on the front burner of what we want to do in public health, is something that I think in the end we don't really know how to do. And I think it's in part because so much of what we have done in public health has been influenced by the medical perspective and this whole, you might say, climate of individualist approaches to public health. So how do we actually begin to really start concretely thinking about a sort of more holistic social perspective? So in relationship to what Dan was earlier talking about, this would be in the direction of social ethics, but it's almost as much social epistemology. And so I'm going to, you know, say something briefly about exposomics and then try to relate that to some of these more systematic interests. So exposomics is about the exposome, and it's the measure of all the exposures of an individual in a lifetime and how those exposures relate to health. An individual's exposure begins before birth and includes insults from environmental and occupational sources. So it's going to look at things like, sometimes it's called fetal programming, the way that the intrauterine environment can impact you for the rest of your life. You know, epigenetics looks at how some very early childhood, or as I say, intrauterine insults can really determine your health status for the rest of your life. And so exposomics is just the study of the exposome and understanding of how these exposures from environment, diet, lifestyle interact with our own unique characteristics such as genetics, physiology, and epigenetics to impact our health. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff done in environmental ethics about, you know, just study all the different kind of pollutants out there. But when you start trying to apply that notion to how it impacts health, and then when you extend that notion of what counts as an exposure, then that's the, you know, the beauty of the exposome. And there is actually, the National Academies have been launching an initiative in this for a while, and so you can, there's a reference down there if you want to find information about, you know, more technical information about the field. So one way of looking at the exposomics is it's the new frontier. You know, it uses the latest omics tools like genomics, epigenomics, proteomics, adductomics, transcriptomics, metabolomics. I think I maybe know what half of those are. It incorporates an unexpected array of diverse factors. You know, not only the things we normally think of as pollutants, you know, exposure to dust, to allergens, to chemicals that cause cancer and so on, but it also includes things like psychosocial stressors, violence, and things that we would normally think are related to social factors. And it sees them synergistically and additively. So that's what's, I think, interesting about it, that it seems to be merging this more scientific side of things with more of an interest in social factors. And then finally, it uses smart algorithms to detect hidden patterns in big data sets. So it's part of this movement to look at big data and collect all the things that we're learning about into one vast database. You can almost say that exposomics is almost like this ideal, putting all we know about health and adverse consequences of various factors into one huge database and seeing what sort of hidden relationships we can tease out of that. So on the one hand, exposomics is an open frontier, and on the other hand, I think it seems like it's closing a circle because it's looking at things over the entire lifetime of exposures. It's comprehensive, it's integrated, it's systematic, it's holistic. And it links, as I say, these more biological factors with more social factors, all into one giant database. And so it has to be transdisciplinary, collaborative. You're going to have to get various peoples in various fields to put their data into one big database. You're going to have various methodologies developed to make all the data understandable and from one field transferable and understandable to other fields. Now, one of the values is, I think it's an opportunity to engage the public's values. And again, this is a reference to last year in our talk, in our panel on individual ethics versus social ethics. I think all of the speakers use the word solidarity. And one commentator on that, Ron Baer, whom some of you know, is a ethicist at the Mailman School, said, you know, as soon as you start talking in America about solidarity, people just, you know, are going to turn off. They're going to label you a commie or a socialist, or, you know, that's not a term. You know, we identify that with Lech Walesa and the Polish Solidarity Movement. So I certainly agree with that point. When you're talking to the public, that is not going to be a term that resonates with the public. But there was also another talk last year by a gentleman who talked about environmental insults, and he talked about its impact on children. And I realized right at that time, when you start translating some of this information about the insults to the environment and phrase it in terms of children, you appeal to everyone. And so when you look at the impacts of everything over the life course and you focus on children, fetal programming, I think you can reduce this to an idea of fairness of opportunity. If someone out of the womb is already behind the eight ball, there's something that's completely unfair about that, and I think completely un-American. I think we as Americans pride ourselves as the land of opportunity. And America is, against Calvin Coolidge, America's business is not business. America's business is creating opportunities. That's what really America has been about. And so I think this has an immediate sort of rhetorical appeal that if someone is already born behind the eight ball, and you can sort of demonstrate that in very concrete terms, I think that's something that will resonate with the American public. Unlike the graphs we present and unlike a discourse talking about solidarity and interdependence, as important as those concepts are. So there are many ethical implications to exposomics. You know, it's going to talk about risk and exposures, and so I've been doing a lot of thinking about this notion of risk assessment, and I'll just make one point about that. And you have to distinguish between the risk assessment, you know, how much exposure will cause, how much damage. That can be done scientifically, and you can also talk about mitigating the risk, and that can also be a scientific technological discussion. But that middle realm of risk evaluation is really a value discussion. And I think we haven't properly recognized that. So this is where ethicists can get involved in understanding that when you talk about what level of risk is safe, that has to be a social discussion that engages stakeholders. You can't just simply have a scientist say, well, there's this level of risk and that's safe or unsafe. That is really, you know, safety at some level is a value, and that differs from person to person. And so I think when we talk about something like the exposome and how much exposure is safe or dangerous. That has to be a social discussion. Second issue will be big data issues, issues of trust, privacy, and confidentiality. We're seeing that in a lot of other areas involving big data, electronic health records. So that's also going to be a problem with exposomics. But I'm going to focus more on these last two, addressing social determinants in health equity and the more systematic ideas of how this may be seen as a convergence of public health ethics as a field. Now, I think there are two fundamental, I don't know if you want to call it myths or rubrics of public health, and I think you're all familiar with them. One is begins in 1854 with John Snow's pump handle. He finds the cause of the cholera epidemic by tracing using rudimentary epidemiology to trace it to a well. And so you might say that's the beginning of this scientific idea of public health, that you find, using epidemiology, scientific causes, underlying causes, and then you have technological solutions to that. And one nice feature of that is that it doesn't really raise issues of equity, because it raises all boats. And it involves a technological transformation, but it doesn't involve a social transformation, at least directly. And I think that makes it non-problematic from a political perspective. And so I think one reason why it's developed, why this first model has developed and become the dominant model, is first of all, you get a lot of good results. And number two, it's not really politically controversial. And then the other model is the Rudolf Virchow's notion of social medicine. I think it's interesting to point out that that's actually slightly older than the first rubric of public health. And I would argue that this one has not been very successful. You know, we haven't made all that much advance since Rudolf Virchow. The recent talk about social justice and health equity is the latest formulation of what has never gotten off the ground. It involves community level intervention, but also community level transformation. And it often, because it points out health inequities, is going to focus on one particular group. But part of the problem is that it's going to rock the boat. It necessarily has to change the status quo, and it's going to be politically controversial. So that's, I think, one big reason why that second model has not advanced. But I think there's another equally important reason why, and that's because I don't think we really know what we're doing. If you think of all the giant social transformation efforts, like collectivist farms in Russia, building the big Aswan dams, building the big high-rises, or more recently you hear, $100 million pumped into Baltimore. Seems like it's working for the 5 or 10 years the program's running. And as soon as the money runs out, nothing. And it seems almost nothing's been accomplished. So I would argue that at some level, I don't think we really know how to solve these big problems. And it seems like the approach we've taken has involved, I think, a certain error. And that error is that because the problem is a huge social structural problem, the way to address it is by huge social re-engineering at the grand scale. And I think those things have just failed. One reason I find exposomics interesting is I think it can merge these two founding stories and provide a way forward. So, these are some of the standard things about health equity that exposomics can accomplish. And I'm really just pointing out, the main purpose of this slide is to point out this article below, that the folks who have written that article have applied this notion of exposomics to addressing the issues of health disparities. So you ask what exposures are preventable, and again, something that I think will resonate with the American public is to ask this question: should your zip code determine your health? Is that fair? I think most Americans would somehow say that shouldn't be the way things are, that where you're born where you were born determined your health, or as I said earlier, you're born already behind the eight ball. In the interest of time, just skip through this slide, but wanted to point out that there's obviously a difference between clinical ethics and public health ethics. Public health has that social perspective, but so much of the development of public health ethics has emerged out of bioethics, and I think in many ways it's influenced by the past. It's been developed in reaction in some ways to bioethics, and so we have this notion of the presumptive ethics that, you know, you have to presume that everyone is worried primarily about liberty. And we've heard some talks by various people at this conference about questioning that. Dan, who spoke earlier, questioned that yesterday, whether we should take that as the basis. The other problem is that public health ethics is still an expanding field, and there's still a question, an ongoing debate about what is the proper purview of public health. Should we just look at things that are health related, or should we look at health in all things? If there's an issue in transportation, should that also be an issue in public health if it impacts health? And I think the perspective of exposomics is you can count everything like that. You know, if there's a transportation, just as you have food deserts, you can have transportation deserts. And if you can quantify that and consider that an exposure, then yes, it does belong in the purview of public health. So the perspective from exposomics is that broader notion of public health, and we can transform all these other sectors into their, you know, corresponding exposures or lack of exposure to things. So with regard to the question of is public health converging, is there a method? I take a tip from the Taoist philosopher Lao Tzu. If you want to compress things, if you want to have something that's holistic, you first have to let it expand. And I think exposomics, even though it's extremely ambitious, including everything, is that way of letting things expand so that we may be in a position to see it converge. And so I know this is a very busy slide and I only have a couple minutes, but I'm going to try to say that I think what we need to start thinking about is transforming our way of thinking about health along the lines of this holistic direction. And so I've added to Kleiman's theory of disease another dimension. There's a physiological dimension of disease that biomedicine looks like. Add psychological dimension that we don't do a good job as in the medical world of addressing. So certainly there's social sickness means that there are structural, systemic problems that health equity looks at, but also this whole idea then of ecological exposures. And so I think when we're thinking about how to analyze what's wrong, we don't want to always reduce things to the biomedical model, that we want to look wherever the exposures are, and that causal pathways can go from one place to the next. And so, last slide, these are just some of the conclusions that are some of the things you might say has implications for the Public Health Code of Ethics, that we need to engage in meta-disciplinary collaboration and intersectoral processes. Recognize that health equity rests on structural inequities, embrace the concept of solidarity, although translated into notion of a life course, because I think that would be more ethically convincing to the American public. And as far as the holistic methodologies and approaches, I think this will be the final point I want to leave you with, is that instead of thinking of the vast amount of work that we have to do in transforming the structure of society, instead of thinking of that in terms of social reengineering, we need to look at that in terms of the ecological model. If you want to restore an ecosystem, you can't just build bridges. There are certain processes that are synergistic and emergent, and we have to build into our solutions then to these vast social problems. We have to think of it as restoring an ecosystem, and that some of it is going to happen internally through the synergy of what happens at a social level. And I want to argue that we don't really understand that. And part of, I think, what exposomics can help us get at is understanding some of those causal pathways. And we then have to have faith that some of those ecosystems that we're assisting can help to restore themselves. Thank you.